All right. Well, it's our privilege once a week, most weeks, to spend a few minutes in the Word of God. And so we're going to do that today. Ephesians is the book that we're in. We're near the end of it. Ephesians chapter 6. Last week, we looked at verse 10 and 11, and really just the end of verse 11 is really all we looked at, the schemes of the devil. And so we're going to stay in that context this morning. We're going to talk about the resistance. Now, when I say that, when I say, you know, somebody's a part of the resistance, you think of an organized group trying to overthrow the government or something like that. I don't mean it that way. I mean the resistance that you and I as believers have to put up in the fight that we're engaged in, okay? So that's the subject, because that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about, and what we talk about is what he talks about, because what he talks about is what God talks about. That's how we end up there. So we're going to stay pretty close to that. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, here's what it says. If you have your Bibles, or you can follow along up here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Now, last week, if you're here, we talked about, before you can really talk about being strong or standing against or withstanding or standing firm, you need to know what you're up against. And so we spent a few minutes last week talking about the devil and his schemes. And that same little outline came up again even this past Sunday in our second hour study on prayer, but it's worth revisiting again. These are the four points we looked at last week. The devil is real, the devil is our enemy, the devil is active, and the devil is effective. And we got that little outline out of what Peter says, which sounds very much like what Paul said, where he wrote in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, mindful, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." So there, Peter assumes the devil is real. He says he is your enemy. That's the adversary. He says he's active. He's out there seeking and prowling around. And then we said he's effective. He brings suffering. He is effective in doing that. Very, very important. Don't forget this. Everybody who is a brother or sister in Christ, anywhere in the world, none of them are exempt from the schemes of the devil and his effectiveness in producing suffering. Now, Peter assumes that his readers, which are Christians, believe the devil is real. And I'm assuming you believe the devil is real. A lot of people don't believe the devil is real. I think it's just an imagination or a way that we identify things that we don't like or things that we're afraid of. But let me just remind you of this. Jesus thought the devil was real. Jesus talked about the devil. He identified him by name. Listen, Jesus talked to the devil, and Jesus exercised power over the devil. There is no question, if you just consider the life of Jesus, he believed the devil was real. And we believe the devil is real, and that's what Peter is saying. Now, what we want to turn our attention to is what's next. We have this enemy. We don't want to underestimate him. So what's next? And in a word, what's next is resistance. Notice what Paul says. Be strong, stand against, wrestle against, and stand firm. Those are all words that speak of resistance. And it sounds, again, very much like what Peter said. He said it that way. Resist him. So we know this enemy is out there. He's active, he's effective, he's real, and we are charged by both Peter and Paul, and we could go deeper into Scripture and see that it is a regular charge to every child of God throughout all the centuries, in all places, at all times. You are going to have to put up some resistance here. You're going to have to oppose this enemy in your Christian life. Now, Peter says something else right after that. Look at verse 10. "And after you have suffered a little while," so again, what does Peter assume is going on in your life? You are fighting the devil, and he is being effective by bringing suffering, and then he says, and the suffering will only last for a while. The suffering will only last for a while. That's just another way of understanding, just so you know, I'm not putting words in Peter's mouth. The suffering is expected. I said this in our second hour on Sunday, and maybe I mentioned to you last week, it's worth repeating here. It's a very dangerous place when a Christian imagines that they've reached a level of piety or sanctification, that they don't have to worry about this. That's what the Bible says when it says to believers, be careful when you think you stand and you don't have to worry about these things, because that's when the devil will take your feet out from under you. That's when you'll fall. So this awareness is important, and it's really, really important to always remind yourself you're not going to be the exception, and you're not so exceptional that you don't have to put up some resistance. So that's the idea. I think that makes sense. Now, one more thing real quickly before we go from Peter. Peter says there's a benefit to it, though, right? You're going to suffer. Everybody suffers. After you've suffered a little while, there's a benefit. There's restoration, confirmation, strength, and stability. Restoration, confirmation, strength, and stability all are the benefits of the believer who has suffered a little while and then been the recipient of God's grace. Now, there are seasons of that in a believer's life, that you'll suffer some wounds and you'll bear the suffering, and then you'll benefit from the grace of God, and you'll benefit from His restoring you and confirming your faith again and establishing you and giving you strength. And then the season of testing will come again, the assaults will come again, and you'll suffer for a while, and then it will return. And that's a cycle of suffering for a while. But if you took the whole big picture of your life, I learned that some of the people in here today, I had no idea, are 60. Can you believe that? But however many years you have, whether it's 60 or 90 or 100 or however many, it will be a little while compared to the eternity of grace and stability and strength and promise that God has. So whether you have seasons of suffering or whether you are maybe as a peculiar blessing from God, feeling as though you're constantly suffering, it will always just be for a little while. Does that make sense? All right, so we're talking about resistance. We're talking about the benefits of the suffering. So what are we fighting? Let's see if we've learned anything. What are we fighting? The devil. Essentially, the Christian's warfare is against the devil because, more than essentially, just by definition, he is the enemy. He's the enemy. That's what God calls him. And he's the enemy, first and foremost, of God, and that makes him the enemy of all things God, the church of God, the people of God, the children of God. But our enemy is the devil. So don't apologize if somebody says, so what are we fighting? You know, Pastor Steve says, the Bible says we're fighting. What are we fighting? We're fighting the devil. But it's not that simple, all right? That's the essence of it, but there's more to it. And that's what we want to talk about now this morning. And the fight here is not just with the devil, but the fight is with me. The fight is with me. Now, that's not two different things. I hope I can show you that. It's the same thing, but we're fighting the enemy, and one of the enemy's tools that he uses against me is me. One of the tools the devil uses against me is me. And when we talk about the fight with me, we say it this way. We're fighting the flesh. All right? So one of the tools that the devil has at his disposal in this grand battle of cosmic proportions is me. It's my flesh. It's my, another way we could say it, it's my fallenness. It's the fact that I was born a sinner. And even though my soul has been redeemed, I still bear about me this body, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, this body of death. This is my flesh, and I have to fight that. So understand, the devil may not be directly involved in that. There's enough of you in that. But in the big scheme, who's the enemy? The devil. And that means, listen, that means you're not the enemy. And your flesh isn't the enemy. The devil is the enemy. So there's a war, and the war is fought first, and most often, I'll tell you, with me. Now, Paul writes about this in Galatians, and you're familiar with this. So this will be kind of a review, but it's good to see it in this context. Here's the picture of the fight with me. Paul says, but I say to a Christian, walk by the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And there's our term, the flesh, which we know means me. For the desires of the flesh are against, and just add there, the desires of the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the desires of the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. All right? So that's the battle going on in me. It's a battle with my flesh, and it's opposed to this new me, the Spirit in me, the reborn me, and there's a battle going on. That's what Paul says. It's very simple to follow that. And what's happening here is a desire to keep you from doing the things that you really want to do, and more importantly, that you know God would have you to do. Now, the flesh is that part of me that has not yet been redeemed, and listen, ladies, will never be redeemed in this life. This corruptible body has to put on incorruption, and that happens when you die. So in this life, while you can exercise a measure of control and dominance and resistance against this flesh, you can't shed this flesh. You can't get rid of it. It's always there. Now, he says, this spirit has desires, this flesh has desires, and then verse 19, same chapter 5, he says, now, here's the works of the flesh. Here are the desires of the flesh that become evident in your life and in my life. And he gives you a list. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. And I read that. I read that yesterday. I read that again this morning, and I kind of had all of you in my mind. I could see each one of you, and I thought, you know, that's none of them. None of them have that problem. But then I read this, things like these. And I said, oh, that's where they get caught. Now, that's not true. You can probably see yourself in the list. And the point is, it's not an exhaustive list. What Paul says is, this is the way the flesh works and all other things like that. And you could just pick your propensity or your tendency or, as the Bible says elsewhere, those things that so easily beset you and challenge your spiritual growth. These are the things of the flesh. Now look, he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that if you do those things, if you surrender those things, if those things are the pattern of your life, then you won't inherit the kingdom of God. That's just a sign that you're not a Christian. So if you have these things in your life, there's a twofold thing you always need to think about, ladies. There, on the one hand, it reminds you that you're a Christian because you're fighting the fight. But on the other hand, if you surrender the fight, it gives you every indication, those same things, that you're not a Christian. So the issue isn't whether or not each one of you or any one of you at any given time are struggling with anger or frustrations or divisions or dissensions or all these other sorts of things, rivalries, fits of anger. That's Christy. She's a kind of fits of anger. And so when you see those things as a believer, you're to resist that, and it's one of the greatest encouragements that you're a believer, that you have the desire, at least, to resist those things, as opposed to when you pitch a mad fit, and you don't feel bad for pitching a mad fit, you don't feel any guilt for it, and you have every intention, if you get the opportunity, to pitch a better mad fit the next time so you can win the battle. Well, then that same mad fit is telling you that you're not a believer. You follow that? The issue is, are you resisting or not? Are you fighting or not? The issue is not whether or not it's there. It's there. The issue is, are you fighting it? Are you engaged in the resistance? So that's the flesh. Now, he also tells us, very helpfully, that the fruit's also doing things. I mean, the Spirit. And the Spirit's producing fruit in you. These are the desires of the Spirit. And so you should be able to look at your life and see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And again, I closed my eyes and I thought about you ladies, and I was much easier to see you there than it was on the other list. I'm not just saying that. I know you, and that's a good thing. That's the evidence of living a Spirit-filled life, that I manifest joy and peace and acts of kindness and goodness and fellowship and all of those things. And against those things, there's not any law that can overcome it or stop it. They are works of the Spirit. They're good in every way you can imagine them being good. So this is what's going on in your life. You should see that in your life every day. If you think about today, you've probably seen it today. You've seen the battle today. You've seen that thing that rises up and says, and it compels you to do what you know you shouldn't do. And then at the same time, you hope that you're seeking to resist and surrender better to being more patient and more loving and more gentle. And then I think of things like self-control, right? And we all struggle in this area in so many ways. Disorganized, chaotic, eat too much, drink too much, sleep too much. All of those things are indications of a lack of self-control. So the idea here is we're to fight those things. So here's the picture. Here's what you've learned. This is you, and these are the things of the flesh, and those are the things of the spirit, and what's happening in you all the time? There are two forces pulling at you all the time, threatening to divide you, to split you, to compromise you, to minimize your effectiveness. This is going on all the time. I could leave this screen up here for an hour. Those arrows are not going to stop moving. I tested them. It's going on all the time. All the time it's going on in your life. And you have to do what? You have to resist. You have to resist this pull, and then you have to chase that. You have to walk in the Spirit and resist these sinful desires that are at war. All right, so you got the battle? Now, back to what Paul said. We got to get back to what Paul said. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Why? Because this battle, look at this, this battle is not against flesh and blood. This battle is not against flesh and blood. Now, this is so important and so often overlooked because we're talking about the fight with me, and we're talking about the fight with me in my flesh, and my flesh is what? My flesh is flesh and blood. And you say, so I've got these issues in my flesh, and I have to fight them with what? My flesh. That's what we do. We try to fight the flesh with the flesh. And all we need to do is go back to Scripture and say, no, wait, he said you can't do that. He said, your fight is not with flesh and blood, meaning you cannot fight the flesh with the flesh because that's not the enemy. What was the enemy? The devil's the enemy. That means that even though what you're experiencing, these things that frustrate you, your temper tantrums or your lack of self-control, whatever, these things that frustrate you, though they are physical things, you can't handcuff yourself or sequester yourself or do anything to yourself physically that can stop it. It has to be fought spiritually. You have to fight these battles spiritually. Now, again, I use me as an example, but I think I could use all of us as an example because this is the big one that just gets us, and that is a propensity to have a lack of self-control. And what do? We reach for the latest fleshly response to that lack of self-control, and it feels so reasonable. You know, I can't control my eating, so the reasonable thing to do is to fight that with the flesh, and that is don't eat and don't smell it and don't look at it, don't go to the place where they serve it. And while there may be benefits to all of that, I'll never win that battle. It's pretty evident. You can look at me. You're not winning, man. It's not working. And you could say that in your own life. You've got that area in your life, and you say, you know what? I fight this every day, and I can't win. And the Bible, at some point, has got to challenge every believer to say, I don't care what your issue of self-control is. It's a spiritual issue. And if you don't start fighting it as a spiritual issue, you will never win this deal. You're going to have to understand that there is an enemy out there, and this is his point of contact with you, your flesh, and he's using it against you. And if you take up the flesh against the flesh, you will consistently be compromised and ineffective. Now, here's what we do. This is how we do it. This is how we fight flesh with flesh. Take whatever the sin is. We say, don't touch that. Don't walk that way. Don't look at that. Don't smell that. Don't taste that. Now, those are your senses. Your senses are engaged in all of those fleshly behaviors, whatever they are, drunkenness, anger. And our response is to take up the flesh and fight the flesh, and we do it this way. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, do that today. And the Bible says, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Here's what the Bible says. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Here's what he's saying. You're a spiritual being now. Why is it that you keep taking up the worldly things to overcome your battles? Why, just take our language, why are you fighting flesh with flesh? Like what? Well, like this. Do not handle. Do not taste. Do not touch. And what is Paul saying to the Colossians? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Referring to things that all perish as they're used according to human precepts and teachings. Why do you think you can fight the flesh with some new psychological approach or philosophical approach or physical diet? Why do you do that? These have indeed an appearance of wisdom, but all they will do is promote self-made religion and asceticism, which means self-denial, and severity to the body. Look what it says at the end. They are absolutely of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. It won't work. It won't work. So you ought to have this written down somewhere in your spiritual journey, journal, and journey and diary, you've got to keep reminding yourself, this is not going to work. If I respond to this war by do not smell, do not taste, do not touch, don't go there, don't look at that. It looks good. It has the appearance of wisdom. And I look like I'm denying myself. What does the Bible say? Not what does Pastor Steve say. What does the Bible say? They are of no value. It will not work. It'll work for a while. And again, I keep going back to this because this is real to me and it's real to many of us, right? You try the lightest diet, and even the diet people will tell you it won't work. You lose 20 pounds and gain 30. Then you lose 30 pounds and gain 40. And you say, what is the problem here? I'm trying to encourage you here, ladies. You're fighting with the wrong weapons. And it doesn't mean you can just pray and eat and not get fat, but it does mean that you need to understand there is an enemy out there. And the first and primary way that he gets in your life is in the flesh. And if you keep fighting it with flesh, you will keep losing. You'll keep losing. So at the end of the day, these are spiritual issues that require spiritual solutions. And that's what I would say then. These are spiritual issues that you have to fight with spiritual weapons. Notice what Paul says to them next. It's the very next verse after 2:22 is 3:1. Set your minds on things above. You're going to have to focus on Christ. You're going to have to focus on a strength, listen, and a might that is not your own, or you will never win these battles. You'll never win these battles. You're going to have to use spiritual weapons, which brings us back to our text. If you want to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, which primarily is the assault and the fight with you, the flesh, then you're going to have to fight with spiritual things. Now notice what he says. Be strong in the Lord. He doesn't say be strong in the flesh. Be strong in the strength of his might, not your strength. So he's saying the same thing. It only took him two sentences to say it. It took me like 24 minutes. But it's the same thing, right? You can't win this in the flesh. That leads me to this question. Is there enough power there? Is there enough power in me to win the fight? I can't win it, but he says there's strength in the Lord and strength in his might. And my question is, does he have enough power? Is there enough power in me as a believer? We've already studied this carefully. He's in there, right? He's in there. Is there enough power in there for me to win? Will Christ have sufficient power to win the battle, my battle with my flesh? And Paul's already answered that for us. Most of you were here. We studied it, Ephesians 1. What you got when you were saved was this hope and this rich blessing. And what is it? Immeasurable greatness of his power and the working of his great might is in you. You say, well, but is it enough power? Well, it's the same immeasurably great power and great might that God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the power that's available to you any given time to fight what? To fight me. To fight the flesh. I have that power available. You don't have to wonder if it's adequate. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you know it's adequate because it's the same power. Does that make sense? All right. Easier said than done, right? But that does make sense, and that's a place to begin. So how do we overcome these things? We're going to overcome them in the strength of his might. Now back in Galatians 5, there were these evident, sexual, impure, sensual, angry, jealous, divided, envy, orgies, and all the things like these. This is me. This is the flesh. But I can't fight it with the flesh. I have to fight it with the Spirit. And so he says, walk by the Spirit. Right? I say walk by the Spirit, and you won't do that. You won't gratify the desires of the flesh. This is Galatians 5. Now, what does walk by the Spirit mean? Walk by the Spirit, which is the same thing as be filled with the Spirit, which is the same thing as, we already studied this, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do I fight me? How do I fight the flesh? I let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly, which fills me with his Spirit so that I can, by that, walk by the Spirit and will no longer gratify the desires of the flesh. Those sinful things that just keep trying to gather and garner all of my strength and all of my energy and all of my attention. All right? Not a magic formula, a biblical formula for spiritual discipline and growth. Got it? So, I don't know why you're here today, but I hope you're here. so that in some way you might let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because that is how you will fight the flesh. Now, real quickly, I've got like 3 minutes. There's the fight with me, but there's also the fight around me. There's the world. There's the fight around me, and it's going on all the time, and it's the world. Remember again, what did Paul say? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but here's what our fight is with. Rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You just need to understand that it can feel like it's just me sometimes, just fighting me, and it takes all my attention. But you need to understand that behind that is an enemy of cosmic proportions. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get you to see. This is a massive force. And he says that this force exists and has its seat in the heavenly places. And here's what I want you to think about for a minute. Maybe you thought about this before, maybe not. We live in an infinite universe. We have scientific advancement, and we can send out ships and telescopes, and we see more and more and more. And with all of our seeing and the millions of miles we have traversed, we can't find the end of it. Can't find the end of it. We live in this, what appears to us at least, to be an infinite universe. And what's on the other side of that? God and his heaven, right? So there's me on this planet, this little bitty planet in this infinite universe, the beyond of which is the very presence of God. Why then does it seem like everything's happening right here? You ever thought about that? With all of this immensity, why does it feel like everything's happening right here on this globe and really right here in my little world? This is my world. Why? Well, let me help you here. This heavenly places, that expanse between our little blue dot and everything else is full. And it's full of demons. It's full of spiritual forces. It's full up. We know from Scripture that demons are fallen angels, and we know from Scripture that there are countless angels. Can't count them. And a third of them fell in the devil's rebellion, and a third of an infinitesimal number is an infinitesimal number. You say, well, where are all those demons? They're filling up all that space between my little world and wherever the edge of this is, and the presence of God is occupied. That's what Paul says. It's occupied. And there's a cosmic reality to that. It's the cosmos. It's this massive universe. Here's the way one pastor put it. I wrote it down because it's good. Why in the world would God create this massive, massive universe where traveling at the speed of light, it would take millions of years to get to the edge of it? What is that all about when all that ever seems to happen is down in this tiny little dot called the earth? Well, here's the answer. That's not all that's happening. That's all we think's happening. But that's not all that's happening. This is what's happening. There's a battle and a war going on out there, and you can't see it. And it's happening all the time. And the Bible gives you little snippets of looking at that, like when the archangel Michael has to contend with the devil, or when Daniel prays and he's asking for God to deliver him, and finally the angel comes and he says, I would have been here sooner, but I was detained by a demon. And they have areas of locale. The Bible says they will identify themselves with nations. They'll identify themselves with cities, cities that could be called even the throne of Satan. But they fill up this vast space. And you need to know, ladies, that's your enemy. Now, it's all organized. There's an organization to it. Rulers, authorities, spiritual forces, there's a hierarchy to it, and it's all organized to do one thing, to manage an order which we call the world. The devil manages all of this in what we call the world system, and he does all of that to do what? To attack you. It's going on all around you all the time, and has one intention, and that's to attack God by attacking the people of God. Wherever and whenever he can, he attacks through this massive world system. So do you understand the scope of your enemy and what his intention is? How is he going to get to you? Is he going to wake you up in the middle of the night and you're going to see horns and a pitchfork? He's not. He's going to get to you during the week through the world system that is intended to creep against you. You're ignorant to it. You don't notice it, and it cripples you. And most of you do know it, and you aren't ignorant of it, and you still wonder, how does it keep crippling me? And that's really going to be our subject if we ever get to it. Next week, right? So do you see this? There's rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces. They occupy all the space between this globe and wherever God is, and it's full of it. And you don't really get their attention. What you get is the attention of their intention, which is the world. You get the attention of the world. Now, just so you see this, Paul's already taught us this. Before you became a believer, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you walked in that path. Look what you did. Look at it. See it? You were following the course of the world. No, I didn't know that. Yeah, you were. You were being moved along by this world system that is dominated by this ruler called the devil and all of his other authorities and minions, and this world system just was sweeping you along. And God reached into that, led by the prince of the power of the air, and you were walking in that darkness, but God reached into that and pulled you out of that by his grace, and now you walk in the light. But that light walks in that dark world. That light is still influenced by that dark world. And that's why you have to be told, don't forget, walk as a child of the light, because you don't live in that darkness anymore. Try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Don't take any part in the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Because they do things in the darkness that's shameful to even talk about. And so, do you understand, ladies? I've got this battle with me. Most of you could relate to that right away. This is a little harder to relate to until you put your mind around it. Do you understand you're fighting this every day? This world system is marshaling against you every day. It is organized. It is refined. It is well-seasoned. It's intentional. And what did Peter already tell us? It's incredibly effective. And you will bear the scars of that. You will suffer the wounds of this world and its system. That's what the Bible teaches us. So Paul says, can't participate with that. You can't be a part of that. And when he was called to be a pastor and an evangelist, he said, this is why God called me. This is why God called me. He called me to open their eyes so they could turn from darkness and exit from the power of Satan and run to God. That's what we do as Christians. We declare the gospel. You say, well, we do that to forgive people's sins so they can go to heaven. We do. But this is how it happens. We call people out of darkness, following the dark demon, devil, and all of his minions, and we deliver them from this power that they have, watch, no power to overcome. They have no power to overcome it. And the gospel alone can deliver them. Now, if you don't understand that, if you don't understand that's what the fight is, you'll try to fight the world the same way you fought your flesh, with flesh. And you'll spend all your energy trying to get the right people voted in, elected. You'll spend all your energy trying to, you know, manage your job in just such a way that you don't have to suffer the influence. You'll fight this battle in the flesh. And what's going to happen when you do that? You're going to lose. Every time you're going to lose. You say, well, no, I'm going to be smarter and stronger than that. I'm going to get me an army, and we're going to get some weapons. I'm talking about real weapons, tanks and guns and swords, and we'll fight this thing. That was the constant temptation of everybody who followed Jesus when he was here. And it was the constant assumption of everybody who was opposed to Jesus. They thought that's what he would do. He'll just fight. He'll fight the flesh with flesh. And then Jesus said this, if my kingdom were of this world, we'd fight that way. We'd take up our swords and we'd fight. But what? My kingdom is not of this world. I have a spiritual kingdom, and we fight with spiritual weapons. Ladies, you got to fight constantly the temptation to fight the fight with the wrong weapons. You have to constantly fight against that temptation. Now, how does it come? Two ways. It comes from the fight in me, which is my flesh. It comes from the fight around me, which is the world and the world system, which, by the way, is filled with what? People. People who are what? Serving Satan. So I never met a Satanist. Yeah, if he's an unbeliever, he's serving Satan. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know he's a part of this cosmic system that's designed to attack you, but he is. But if you imagine it's him, like you say, yeah, I know, that's my neighbor. What have you learned in 2 weeks? It's not your neighbor. Who is it? It's the devil and the evil forces, and your neighbor's being used, and he needs to be delivered from that darkness so that he can become a child of light, rescued from the dominion of Satan. Right? That's right. All right. Now, it's time for us to get dressed, put on the whole armor, take up the whole armor. And so, next week, that's what we're going to do. We know what we're fighting now. Now we need to put on some armor, right? So we use the right weapons. I'm going to tell you, you can become spiritually strong. The Bible allows for this. You can become spiritually strong and spiritually confident, and you can go out there and engage in the battle, and you start swinging, and you're swinging with air because you forgot to pick up the weapon that you needed that morning to go into the fight. And I was reminded, I was started to search the clip and show it to you, but you know this. Probably most of you saw this movie, Indiana Jones. Remember the scene where he's like over in somewhere far in the world, and this guy walks up with the swords, and he's doing, he's got all the moves and all the strength and all the training, and but he's got what? He's got the wrong weapon. Indiana Jones reaches in his holster and shoots the guy. So that's the idea, ladies. Your flesh can do all kinds of gymnastics and convince you that it's an overwhelming force. And the world comes alongside and tries to do the same thing. You need to understand, you have got a weapon that can overcome any of their assaults. And so next week we'll talk about how we pick those up. Got it?